A planet glows in black space amid swirling meteorites. Massive three-dimensional capital letters emerge from white clouds, forming the word Lionsgate.
A stylized moving lift shaft view of identical empty floors in turquoise and white. The logo of Film 4 in red, passing vertically down to the ground floor. An animated pebble skips across a black liquid surface, making concentric, watery rings. The image settles into the word embankment. Stylized horizontal and vertical lines converge, resolving into Trademark Films, TM. In blue space, the constellation of Taurus animates into the outline of a bull, its body glowing white in a beam of light. The letters FDC, Film du Cru.
Le Film du Cru and Film 4 present in association with Orange Studio, Canal Plus, Ciné Plus, in association with Embankment Films. A Trademark Films, FCOM Film, Ciné Arrobas production. A film by Florian Zeller, Anthony Hopkins, Olivia Colman, Mark Gatiss, Imogen Poots, Rufus Sewell, Olivia Williams. In bright sunshine, a woman in her 40s with short dark hair, wearing a loose pink coat over a blue shirt and black slacks, walks briskly down a terrace of red brick mansion flats, fronted by a long privet hedge. With a capacious bag over her shoulder, she strides on, not breaking step. Music by Ludovico Einaudi. Screenplay by Christopher Hampton and Florian Zeller. Based on the play The Father by Florian Zeller. Directed by Florian Zeller. The woman crosses a street towards another red brick terrace, and as she approaches an elegant house with a raised first floor, she breaks into a brief run and mounts the front steps. She lets herself through the glassed front door and hurries up more steps. She climbs a wide staircase with a plush raspberry red carpet and a black wrought iron balustrade. She arrives at the top floor of the building, rings the doorbell, and lets herself in with a key. The title, The Father.
Dad, it's me.
She comes into an elegant but slightly dingy hall.
Dad?
She glances into a couple of the rooms, then comes down the green painted hallway towards a closed door. She sighs with relief.
There you are.
Her white-haired father lowers his headphones with a look of surprise.
What are you doing here?
What do you think?
Huh?
She crosses the unlit room and yanks back the curtains. He blinks at her, dazzled by the sudden light.
So what happened?
Nothing.
Oh, tell me.
I just did. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened?
Oh.
I've just had her on the phone.
So what does that prove?
You can't go on behaving like this.
It's my flat, isn't it? This is incredible. You burst in on me as if I've no idea who she is, this woman. I never asked her for anything.
She's here to help you.
Oh, tell me, do what? I don't need her. I don't need anyone.
He gets up from his chair and walks out of his study. He crosses the living room, his left hand resting across the front of his brown cardigan, and walks on through another set of doors to the dining room. As his daughter takes off her coat, he reappears at the door, looking agitated.
She told me you'd called her a little bitch. I don't know what else.
Maybe. I don't remember.
He hovers by his piano.
She was in tears.
Why, because I called her a little
bitch? Nope. She told me that you'd threatened her physically.
Me? Physically? Obviously, she has no idea what she's talking about. This woman is raving mad, and believe me, best if she does leave, believe me. Especially as,
As what?
I didn't want to tell you this, but since you must know, I suspect she was,
She was what?
She was stealing from me.
Angela? Of course not. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, she stole my watch. Yes.
Your watch?
Yes.
Isn't it more likely you just lost it?
No. I already had my suspicions, so I set a trap for her. I left my watch somewhere in the open to see if she'd pinch it. Or...
Where?
Hmm?
Where did you leave it?
I don't know and I don't remember. All I know is it's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. I can't find it. There's your proof. That girl stole my watch. I know she did. Yeah.
She perches on the back of the settee with her back to her father.
What's the matter?
I don't know what to do. We have to talk, Dad.
Well, that's what we're doing, isn't it?
No, I mean, seriously. That's the third one you've...
I'm telling you, I don't need her or anyone else. I can manage very well on my own.
Wasn't easy to find her, you know.
No.
This isn't easy. I thought she looked really good, lots of great qualities. And now she doesn't want to work here anymore.
You are not listening to what I'm telling you.
He strokes her cheek.
That girl stole my watch. I'm not going to live with a thief. Do you understand?
She forces a smile.
Have you looked under the bath?
What?
Under the bath by the pipes where you hide your valuables.
How do you know that? And tell me the truth.
I don't know, I just know.
Have you been looking in my hiding?
No.
Then how do you know that sometimes that's where I keep my valuables?
I don't know, I found it by accident.
Ooh, you.
Dad. Dad! Where are you going? I haven't touched anything!
Glancing round suspiciously, he shuts his bedroom door. His daughter sits with her head bowed, pondering the situation. Looking up, her eyes light on a painting above the mantelpiece of a girl in red, pirouetting in a field. Her father comes out of his room, fastening his watch strap to his wrist. She looks around and sees him slumped down in his leather chair in the study. He points the remote at the TV, as if unaware of her presence. She gets up and slowly walks to the door of the study.
You found it then?
What?
Your watch.
Oh, yes.
So you realised Angela had nothing to do with it?
He looks at her blankly.
Only because I hid it, luckily, just in time. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here talking to you with no means of knowing what time it was.
She nods wryly.
It's 5 o'clock if you're interested. Myself, I am interested. Yeah, pardon me for breathing.
Have you had your pills?
Yes. Why do you keep looking as if there's something wrong? Everything is fine, Anne. Yeah. World is turning. You've always been that way, a warrior. Whereas your sister... Yeah. Where is she, by the way? Have you heard from her? I'm asking you a question.
Anne gulps and takes a tentative step forward.
I'm going to have to move, Dad. I'm going to have to leave London.
Really? Why?
We talked about this, do you remember?
Ah, is that why you're so keen on this? Nurse living with me. Obviously it is. The rats are leaving the ship.
Anne pulls up a chair and sits in front of her father, who rubs his temple, his pale blue eyes watching her morosely.
I won't be here. I won't be able to come here every day. You need to understand that, Dad.
Yeah. So you're leaving? When? I mean, why?
Her face brightens.
I've met someone.
You?
Yes.
You mean a man?
Yes.
Really?
You don't have to sound quite so surprised.
No, it's just that, I mean... You have to admit that since,
He struggles to remember.
James?
There hasn't been a lot of, What does he do, anyway?
He lives in Paris.
Oh.
So I'm going to go and live there.
Were you in Paris? You're not going to do that, are you, Anne? I mean, wake up, they don't even speak English.
She grins at him.
So if I understand correctly, you're leaving me. Is that it? You're abandoning me.
Dad.
He gnaws at his finger as he contemplates the prospect.
What's going to become of me?
Obviously, this is very important to me, otherwise I wouldn't be going. I really love him. And I can come back and see you often at the weekends. Yeah. But I can't leave you here on your own. It's not possible. And that's why if you refuse to have a carer, I'm going to have to...
To what? To what?
You have to understand, Dad.
Anne, you're going to have to what?
She purses her lips and her dark eyes bore into him. Looking out of his top-floor bedroom window, the father watches Anne cross the street below and hurry away. He goes on watching until she disappears from sight. He turns away from his window in his unlit and gloomy room and slumps down on the bed with a glum sigh. He lets his head drop forward. A view of his traditionally furnished living room adorned with pictures, books and a few pottery knick-knacks. A view past the piano into the dining room. Sunlight beams across his bed and a blue shirt hangs on a clothes stand. The old man, dressed in a brown jacket, dark brown trousers and polished brown shoes, fills a kettle from the kitchen tap. There are three blue bags of shopping on the pine table behind him. He flips the kettle switch and jauntily switches on his transistor radio. Facing the pine effect fitted worktop, he opens an eye-level cupboard and takes out a caddy, spooning out some tea into a cup. A neon strip lights up the brown and cream patterned tiles along the wall. He rocks gently on his feet, his hands rippling as if conducting the music. He shuts his eyes as he listens, hands in his jacket pockets. Opening them, he sees the shopping bags, and he seems perplexed by them. He looks into one of the bags, brings out a packet of pasta, and takes it over to another eye-level cupboard. He places a bottle of oil onto the worktop. He holds the empty blue plastic bag in his hand. He looks at it blankly, rolls it up into a ball, and secretes it into his trouser pocket. He leans against the worktop as he listens. He looks towards the sound of the door, then turns off the radio.
Anne! Anne!
He listens carefully, picks up a fork, and creeps out of the kitchen. He comes out into the hallway with a baffled expression.
Is there anybody there?
He wanders down the hall towards the living room with the fork in his hand. And at the doorway, he stares blankly at a slim 50-year-old man with thinning fair hair, dressed in a white shirt and grey suit trousers, sitting in an armchair, looking through some papers. The man looks up and twitches a smile.
Everything all right?
Who are you?
Sorry?
Who are you? What are you doing here? What are you doing in my flat?
The man looks equally perplexed.
Actually, it's me, Paul.
Who? What are you doing here?
I live here.
You?
Yes.
You live here?
Yes.
You live here in my flat? Well, that's the best yet. What is this nonsense? Huh?
The man's jaw drops.
I'm going to phone Anne. Your daughter?
Oh, yes, thank you. I know who Anne is. Do you know Anne? Are you a friend of hers? I'm speaking to you! Do you know Anne?
I'm a husband.
A husband?
Yes.
But since when?
Coming up for 10 years.
Ah, yes, yes. Of course, yes, yes. Obviously. 10 years already. But I thought, aren't you, separated?
Who? Anne and me?
Yes, you aren't?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, Anthony.
But this thing about France, wasn't she supposed to be going to Paris too? Wasn't she?
Hello, darling. Yes, it's me. No, it's just your father isn't feeling very well. I think he'd like to see you. Fine. Don't be too long. She's just doing some shopping. She'll be up in a minute.
Oh, good. Yeah, she told me, the other day she told me she was going to go and live in Paris. She told me the other day.
Paris?
Yes.
What was she going to do in Paris?
Well, she met a Frenchman.
I don't think so, Anthony.
Yes, she did. She told me the other day. I'm not an idiot. She told me she was moving to go and live with him. And I even remember telling her it was a stupid idea because, you know, they don't even speak English.
The man looks fixedly at Anthony.
You don't know about this?
No.
Oops!
What?
Have I put my foot in it?
Don't worry. She hasn't mentioned it to me, but I'm sure she's intending to.
So you don't know about the Frenchman?
No.
Oops-a-daisy.
Anthony covers his mouth in mock embarrassment.
Never mind. Cheer up! Ah, they all end up leaving sooner or later. I speak from experience.
Do you want something to drink while we're waiting? Glass of water, fruit juice?
No, it's just I was... it's just I was going to say something.
He follows the man into the kitchen.
Yeah. No, it's because of that girl, that nurse.
Laura?
I've forgotten the name. That girl, your wife insisted on handing me over to the nurse. I mean, you know about this as if I'm unable to manage on my own. She told me, your wife told me that I needed the help of this, even though I can manage perfectly well on my own, even if she does have to go abroad to Paris, your wife.
The man pours himself a glass of red and goes back into the living room.
See, I don't understand why she persists in, I mean, look at me, just take a look at me.
Paul.
That's right, Paul, take a good look at me. See, I can still manage on my own. Don't you think? I mean, I'm not completely... You agree? Of course you agree. But, here. I don't know where this stupid obsession comes from. She's always been that way, ever since she was little. The thing is, she's not very bright. You know, she's not very, not very intelligent. She gets that from her mother.
I think she tries to do the best she can for you, Anthony.
Oh, the best she can, the best she can, yeah. I never asked her for anything. I don't know what she's cooking up against me, but she's cooking something up. She's cooking something up, that I do know. See, I suspect she wants to put me in a home for, Ah, yes, I've seen the signs. But let me be absolutely clear. I'm not leaving my flat. I am not leaving my flat.
This isn't your flat, Anthony.
Sorry?
If you remember, you moved here. I mean, you moved to our place while you were waiting
for... For what?
For a new carer, because you quarrelled with the last one, with Angela.
Oh, did I?
That's why you're staying in our place while you wait.
So, James...
Paul...
Right, Paul. So you're telling me this is your place?
Yes.
And now I've heard everything.
The front door opens.
It's me.
Ah, there she is.
Anthony strides into the hall.
What's happening?
Oh, nothing much. Your father seemed a bit confused.
Something wrong?
Anthony stares in bafflement at the slim brunette standing in front of him.
What is this nonsense?
What are you talking about?
Oh, where's Anne?
Sorry?
Anne, where is she?
I'm here. I just went down to do some shopping and I'm back now.
With the man standing behind him, Anthony gapes at the woman in confusion.
Oh, I see.
He ponders and then gives her an amiable smile.
What did you buy?
Chicken. Does that sound good? Are you hungry?
Yes, why not?
Here, let me have it. I'll fix everything.
Thanks.
The man takes the shopping bag to the kitchen, and Anthony shuffles off into the living room. He sits on a chair by a sideboard and rests his face in his hand, looking confounded. He lifts his head as if a thought has struck him, then turns and notices the woman in the doorway of the living room.
Paul said you weren't feeling very well.
I'm fine, thank you.
She comes to perch on the back of the settee.
You look worried.
No, it's just...
Just what?
She steps towards him with a soft smile.
Hey.
She crouches at his feet.
Tell me.
I was making a cup of tea in the kitchen. I was alone in the flat and suddenly I heard a noise like him in here, and there was your husband.
Who?
Your husband.
What husband?
Well, yours, my dear, not mine.
James?
Your husband.
I'm not married, Dad.
I'm sorry.
I got divorced more than 5 years ago, you remember?
Well, then, who is he?
Well, who?
Are you doing this on purpose? I'm talking about him who just left with the chicken.
The chicken?
Did you not hand over a chicken to someone a minute ago?
What are you on about, Dad?
Did you not hand over a chicken to someone? A chicken!
What chicken? What are you talking about, Dad?
He strides off towards the kitchen, and she follows him. He looks around in confusion.
He was here just now.
I think you're mistaken, Dad. There's no one here.
He's vanished.
Who? The man with the chicken?
Your husband. Why are you smiling?
Nothing. I'm sorry. Sorry.
All this nonsense is driving me crazy.
He comes past her on his way back to his room, carefully shutting the door behind him. He goes to the window, pulls back the net curtains, and looks out at the familiar street corner below, and sees two men walking by.
What's the matter, Dad?
The woman comes into the room.
There's something funny going on. Believe me, Anne, there's something funny going on.
Come sit down, come on.
She gently takes his arm, and they both sit on the bed.
Now, don't worry. Everything will sort itself out.
I don't know.
Yes, it will. Don't worry. Have you taken your medication?
What's that got to do with anything?
Let's give you your medication, the evening dose. Then you'll feel better.
Yeah, it's been going on for some time. Strange things going on around us. Haven't you noticed? There was this man claiming this was not my flat. Really unsympathetic looking man, a bit like your husband, only worse. It's the best yet, don't you think? In my flat. He told me.
He frowns at the memory.
But,
She sits down and hands him his medication with a glass of water.
This is my flat, isn't it? Hmm? Anne? Isn't it? Tell me, Anne, this really is my flat. Isn't it?
Her hair pulled back from her slender face, the woman smiles non-committally. Her large, pale blue eyes watch him take his meds.
Thank you.
She gives him a calm smile. A view of a cream-painted hallway. A view towards the half-open door into the living room, furnished in soft pastel colours with stylish pale green seating. Anne, in her pale pink coat over a blue blouse, comes into a fresh pastel-coloured kitchen and puts some blue plastic shopping bags on a sleek, dark kitchen table.
I know. You can't imagine how difficult it is sometimes. The other day, you didn't even recognise me. Oh, I know. Yeah. Thank you.
She slips off her coat.
Well, as long as he likes her, I mean, that's the main thing, isn't it? You need to know that he'll be happy.
She picks up some post.
Yeah.
She takes it to her office.
No, that's a good idea. Yeah, absolutely. Hope so. She seemed nice on the phone.
She sits down at the desk.
Well, I'll let you know how it goes. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay, speak soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Anthony is sitting up in bed in his pajamas, doing a crossword. He removes his glasses with a frown and listens as Anne goes to the door.
Hello.
Hello. I'm not too early, am I?
No, not at all. Come in. Come in.
Thanks.
A slim blonde in a leather jacket comes in.
Come in. Thanks for coming round.
That's okay.
My father's just in his room. Would you like something to drink?
No, thanks.
Okay. Please make yourself comfortable.
The young visitor takes a seat in the living room.
Yes, yeah, so I was telling you, my father, I think, is quite upset by the whole
That's
idea.
Okay.
So it can cause him to... I think he's quite annoyed with me. I'm just telling you this because he is capable of reacting unexpectedly.
And has he lived on his own up till now?
Yes. He was in a flat not far from here, which worked, and I was able to pop in on him practically every day. But we've had to come to another arrangement. It wasn't viable anymore.
I understand.
And he's had several carers, one after another. He finds it difficult to get on with them. He has his ways. that's why I moved him in here with me. But I'm finding it quite difficult to manage on my own. It's a bit much because I have to work, and that's why I need someone to help me.
Did I hear the bell?
Dad, yes.
Ding dong.
Yes, Dad, I'd like you to meet Laura.
How do you do, sir?
I explained to you that Laura was going to come by today so that you two could meet.
Hello.
Hello.
I say you're gorgeous.
Thank you.
But I, haven't we met before?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure? I have a distinct impression that I've seen you before.
So, well, Laura has come round, to meet us so that she can get an idea of how you live and to what extent she might be able to help you.
I know, dear, I know that. You've already told me 100 times. My daughter has a tendency to repeat herself. But you know what it's like, it's an age thing. Would you like a drink?
You're very kind, but no thanks.
An aperitif, are you sure? No, an aperitif. Time for an aperitif, Nana. Oh, hang on. Just a moment, I'll be back.
He looks at his empty wrist and goes.
He's gone to find his watch.
I must say, he's charming.
Yeah, not always.
In his bathroom, Anthony fastens his watch. For a moment, he looks blank, then rejoins the women with a spring in his step.
Just as I thought, time for an aperitif. I have two watches, I've always had two, one on my wrist and the other in my head. Well, it's always been that way. Now, what would you like, young lady?
Dad?
Well, I'm allowed to offer our guest a drink, am I not? What would it be?
What are you going to have?
Small whiskey.
Well, then I'll have the same.
Two! Splendid! Two small whiskies coming up. And please, it's okay, Anne, I'm not going to offer you a drink. She never touches alcohol, never, not a drop.
It's true.
Never, not a drop, yeah. That's why she seems so,
So what?
Sober. Her mother was the same. Her mother was the soberest woman I've ever met. Oh, dear. Silly. Yeah, whereas her little sister, now, that was quite a different story.
Oh, you have two daughters?
Yes, even though I hardly ever hear from the other one. All the same, she's was always my favourite. She was a painter. Look, there you are, the pirouette. Isn't it beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Anne brings over the drinks.
A dazzling girl. I don't understand why she never gets in touch, never. Your whiskey.
Thank you.
Cheers.
He knocks his back in one gulp.
Oh, ha. Mm. Oh. Do you know, I give everything I own for a glass of whiskey, don't you agree?
Well, I don't own all that much, so...
Oh, really? What do you do for a living?
I look after other people.
Other people?
Mm. Yeah, my job is to help people who need help.
Oh. Sounds like one of those girls you're always trying to dump off a maid here. Must be a difficult job, though, isn't it? I mean, spending all day with one of those... Ugh, I mean, I couldn't stand it. Am I right?
I did myself. What about you? What did you do for a living?
Oh, I was a dancer.
Were you?
Yes.
Dad?
What?
You were an engineer.
What do you know about it? Yes, tap dancing was my specialty.
Really?
You seem surprised.
Yeah, a little bit.
Why, don't you believe me? Or you find that difficult to imagine?
Of course, it's just... I've always loved tap dancing.
You really? Wow. I'm still great at it. I'll show you. Aye! Jolly good. Why are you laughing?
Sorry.
I know. She reminds me of.
Who?
It's Lucy. Lucy when she was younger.
Lucy?
Yeah, my other daughter. That's right. There's a resemblance, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Her unbearable habit of laughing inanely.
Laura's smile freezes.
I had you there, didn't I? You see, the situation is very simple. I've lived in this flat for some time now. I'm extremely attached to it. And I bought it more than 30 years ago. Can you imagine? You weren't even born. Yes, it's a big flat, very nice. It's very big. And I've been very happy here. Anyway, my daughter is very interested in it.
What are you talking about?
You see, my daughter is of the opinion that I cannot manage on my own, so she's moved in with me ostensibly to help me with this man she met not long ago, just after her divorce. Yeah. It's a very bad influence on her, I have to tell you.
What are you talking about, Dad?
So now she would like to convince me that I really cannot manage on my own, and the next stage will be to send me away. I don't know. Obviously, it'll be a much more efficient way of getting hold of my flat, but it's not going to happen that way. Sorry, dear. I may as well tell you now. I'm not leaving this flat anytime soon. I'm going to outlive you. Both of you. I don't know about you, but my daughter, yes. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to make a point about it. I'm going to inherit it from her, not the other way around. And the day of her funeral, I shall give a little speech to remind everyone how heartless and manipulative she was.
I'm so sorry about this.
Why? She understands perfectly. You're the one who doesn't understand. See, I've been trying to convince her for months that I can manage very well on my own. But she refuses to listen. I don't need any help from anyone. And I'm not going to leave my flat. All I want is for everyone to fuck off. Having said that, It's been a great pleasure. Au revoir. Toulou.
With a flourish of his right hand, he leaves them.
I'm really very sorry about this.
You weren't kidding when he said he had his ways.
I'm really sorry.
Don't be. That sort of reaction's quite normal.
Anne smiles tearfully at Laura.
It'll be all right.
Do you think?
Laura takes a sip of her whiskey and nods.
Yeah.
Anne stands in her softly lit kitchen, leaning against the counter, drinking from a mug. She turns to rinse the mug out. She picks up a dishcloth and wipes it dry, her face rigid. She upturns the mug and rests it on the drainer. She kneels down to pick up the pieces. She starts to weep. She wipes her nose with the back of her hand, gets to her feet, and drops the pieces in the bin. She turns out the kitchen light and trudges towards her bedroom, stopping to stare at her father's bedroom door. She walks towards it. She creeps in and sits down on the bed where Anthony is sleeping on his back. She leans over and strokes his cheek. She cups his other cheek with her other hand and starts to squeeze. Anthony's legs kick out.
Well?
Anne breaks from her daydream.
What?
Did it go well?
Yeah, I think so. She said she was going to start tomorrow.
Well, here?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so we'll see how the first day goes. And I was really worried that it wasn't going to work, but in the end it was fine. He was charming.
Oh, there you are, you see.
Yeah. He really turned the charm on for her. You should have seen him. He told her he'd been a dancer, a tap dancer. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it to you. I think she's really going to be able to... I think they're really going to get on well together. And then he said that she reminded him of Lucy.
Really? How old is she?
Well, are you interested?
She marches off to the kitchen and dumps down a tray. Handsome, dark-haired Paul follows her with a quizzical look.
What's the matter with you? If it went well, that's good news, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
So? What's the matter with you? Tell me.
It's just...
What?
Just now when I came back with the chicken, he didn't recognise me. I don't know, it just did something to me.
I understand.
Finding it really hard.
He wraps her in his arms.
Saw it in his eyes, didn't know who I was. It was like I was a stranger to him.
You'll have to get used to it.
But I can't manage to.
I think you can. And you're managing really well.
He gives her another hug.
Oh, Dad.
Hi. Dinner will be ready in 5 minutes. Does that suit you?
Yes, dear. Suits me fine. Suits me fine.
Anthony looks across at Paul.
Hello.
Paul picks up a bottle of red.
Are you hungry?
Yes, yes, but, we have guests this evening.
No, why?
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
Wearing a wine-coloured sweater over cream slacks, Anthony wanders off down the hall looking about him, visibly unsettled. He stops dead and stares at Paul sitting in the living room with a glass of red.
Everything all right? You had a good day?
Yeah, very good. Laura came by, didn't she, Dad? Laura came by just now to see us.
Who?
Laura, the young woman who came to see us just now.
Anthony watches Paul rolling up his sleeves.
And then we went to see the doctor.
Has anyone seen my watch? I seem to have lost it.
Again? Well, you've probably put it in your cupboard, don't you think, in your hiding place?
What cupboard? I don't know what you're talking about. I really don't know what you're talking about, Anne. What cupboard? There's no cupboard. There's no cupboard, is there?
He pulls it to one side.
Could we be more discreet?
Have you looked in your cupboard?
I've just come from there. It's not there. Must have lost it somewhere, or else it's been stolen.
No, it hasn't.
What do you mean, no, it hasn't? Watch must be somewhere. It can't have flown away.
Well, do you want me to go and have a look?
Yeah, very much so, because it is a bother. I am worried. It's very worrying. I mean, I'm losing all my things. Everyone's just helping themselves. And if this goes on much longer, I'll be stark naked. And I won't be able to tell what time it is. Please. Okay, thank you.
She goes off with a deep sigh. Anthony appears at the door of the dining room and wanders towards the living room, whistling under his breath, his eye lighting on the wristwatch that Paul, who's looking at his phone, is wearing. He turns away and peers briefly out of the window. Hands thrust in his trouser pockets, he stares at Paul.
Why do you have the time?
Almost 8.
Oh. That's late. Shouldn't we be sitting down for dinner now?
Yes, 5 minutes, when the chicken's ready.
We're having chicken this evening?
It's the one Anne bought.
He sits down on the same settee as Paul. In the bathroom, Anne, holding the watch in the plastic tub where her father keeps his valuables, finds a fork in the tub. She stashes the tub away behind the bath.
You know, it's pretty. Your watch, it's very pretty. It's is it yours? I mean, is it yours?
Yes.
It might have said it, so.
So apparently it went very well today.
Oh, yes. Very well, very well.
So apparently she looks like Lucy.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen her.
No, it, well, Anne seemed pleased. You know, it's, I don't really need, it's mainly for Anne. Might I have a look at your watch?
You're right. You know, it's important to her this works out.
Yeah.
Anthony, she's been worried about you, you know, and it really upsets her when you keep falling out with... What is it about my watch?
Oh, nothing. I was just looking. I want to check it's, check if it's, it's pretty, very pretty. Did you buy it?
Sorry?
Was it a present or did you buy it?
I bought it.
Why? I don't suppose you kept the receipt.
What are you talking about?
Your watch. It's,
I was talking about Anne.
Anne?
Yes, Anne.
Yeah.
He looks away, suddenly lost. Anne lays the fork on the kitchen counter and checks the chicken in the oven. She turns up the dial and opens the sash window. She peers down at a neighbouring window, at a laughing couple in their kitchen, and her cheeks tighten.
I don't know why we never really got on well together. Whereas her little sister... Ah, that was another story. Do you know her? She's marvellous. Marvellous. I haven't seen her for months.
Anthony peers out of a window.
I can't blame her. She's travelling around the world, I think.
Paul goes next door.
She's a painter. I'd be so happy if she came to see me one day. I'd take her in my arms and we'd be glued to one another for hours on end, like we used to be a long time ago when she was little. And she still used to call me Little Daddy. Little Daddy. That's what she used to call me, you know. Nice, isn't it, Little Daddy?
Paul leans against the doorway, holding a glass of red.
Can I ask you a question?
Hmm?
But I want an honest answer. Nothing fancy. Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Well, then.
He puts down the glass.
How long do you intend to hang around here getting on everybody's tits?
As Anne presses a lift button, Anthony in smart overcoat stares at her.
What is it?
What have you done to your hair?
Nothing, why?
You're looking good.
She beams at him, and they share a fond moment. They come out of the heavy wrought iron lift doors. Anne rings a bell next to a door identical to Anthony's door.
You lost the keys?
No.
She leads the way in. He looks around in bewilderment.
No, my father has an appointment with Dr. Sarai. Dad, come here.
They're in a pale green painted reception.
Okay, thank you. So,
Anthony signs his name on a form.
Date of birth?
Friday, 31st of December, 1937.
Friday?
Yes.
You're living with your daughter at the moment, is that right?
Yes, until she goes to live in Paris.
No, Dad, why do you keep going on about Paris?
What?
I'm staying in London.
You keep changing your mind. How do you expect people to keep up?
Well, there's never been any question of me living in Paris.
Yes, there was. You told me.
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry, Anne, you told me the other day. Have you forgotten? She's forgotten. You're starting to suffer from memory loss. I'd have a word with the doctor if I were you.
In any event, I'm not going to Paris.
Oh, that's good. Paris. They don't even speak English there.
The doctor makes some notes, shooting him a glance. Anthony sits in the waiting room next to two curved modern chairs, one sea green blue, the other pale yellow.
I know how worrying these things can be, and things can change very quickly. So if you need anything at all, give me a call.
Okay.
Anytime.
The doctor hands Anne her card.
Thank you for your help.
She turns to her father in the waiting room, and a soft, tender smile comes to her lips, her dark eyes full of compassion. In the cab on the way home, Anthony stares out of the window, his pale eyes melancholy, his thoughts impenetrable.
Dad?
Anne squeezes his hand, but he pulls it away. At home in the kitchen, she irons a man's blue shirt. She brings the laundry basket of neatly folded ironing out of the kitchen and into the hall. She hangs clothes up in Anthony's pine wardrobe, sunlight shining through the narrow window and a lamp casting its soft light on the wall. She touches her father's dark suits and next to them a stylish two-tone scarf which she strokes with her thumb. Sitting on the double bed, she ponders the situation. As she goes to get up, her eyes stray across to a framed photograph of her father with his arms around his two teenage daughters. Anthony is sitting in front of a window, listening to music through headphones, gnawing his fingers. He pulls off the headset and presses the eject button on his CD player. He takes it out of the CD and cleans it with a tissue. He slips it back into its slot, presses the slider, and puts his headphones back on, slightly out of breath. In a local shop, Anne, looking earnest and preoccupied, is waiting at the meat counter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She picks up a white plastic carrier bag and answers her phone.
Hello, what's the matter? What? All right. I'll be up in a minute.
She leaves the shop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
She comes back home.
What's happening?
Not be much, but I think he'd like to see you.
Where is he?
It's in his room. Let me have it.
She hands Paul her shopping, and easing off her coat, revealing the two-tone scarf, she moves into the hallway and stops, seeing Anthony struggling to put on his wine-coloured sweater, unable to put his arm into the right sleeve. Her face floods with pity.
Yeah, let me.
She takes the sweater from him and gently turns out the sleeves, putting his arms into them and pulling the sweater over his head. He sees her concerned expression.
What's the matter?
Okay, I'll get dinner ready.
Anne.
What?
Thank you for everything.
She forces a smile and turns away. He looks under his right sleeve and then the left. In the kitchen, Anne empties the plastic bag, dropping a chicken into a baking tray. She bins the bag. She starts to peel some carrots. In his room, Anthony checks the time and puts down his book. He drags himself to his feet. He tosses his specs onto the bedside table. He walks along the lamp-lit pale hallway.
We have to find another arrangement.
Such as?
Putting him in an institution.
A home?
Yes. A nursing home. It'd be better for him.
Why are you saying this to me now, when tomorrow morning we've got this girl starting?
You're right. We'll see. And maybe it'll work out very well with this girl. You seem to think she's good, but believe me, the doctor is right. The moment will come when, however good she is, he's ill, man. He's ill.
Paul and Anne look up sharply as Anthony appears.
Dad, what are you doing standing out there? Come on. Come on, Dad, come and sit down. Come on, Dad.
He pulls out the chair at the head of the table. He and Paul sit down, and Anne goes off to the kitchen. They have their chicken dinner.
So it went well today?
Well, wouldn't you agree, Dad?
What?
You made her laugh a lot.
I did?
Yes, she said you were charming, that you had your ways, but that you were charming. And she's coming back tomorrow morning to start working here. Would you like some more?
I would. Good chicken. Don't you think? Where did you buy it?
Downstairs. Why?
Oh, no reason. It's good chicken.
Paul?
No, thanks.
Paul reaches for the red wine bottle.
So she's working full days, is she? I mean...
Yeah, till six.
And then?
What do you mean?
After six.
I'll be here.
Paul nods testily, then turns to Anthony.
You satisfied?
With what?
Well, you have a daughter who looks after you properly, don't you? You're lucky.
You're lucky too.
Oh, you think so?
And leaves with the dish of chicken.
What's the matter with her?
Anne? She's tired. Needs a bit of sun.
Aye. You need to take care of her, old sport. Why did you go away somewhere?
Why? Sometimes I wonder if you're doing it deliberately.
What?
Paul empties his glass and pours himself another.
We had planned on going to Italy.
Huh?
But we had to cancel it at the last moment. Do you know why?
No.
Because of your row with Angela. We weren't able to go and leave you on your own. We had to cancel our holiday and bring you here. And now you're going to stay here. For good. If I understand correctly. He's forgotten. It's amazing.
Stop it.
Stop what?
You're being a bit...
A bit what?
Sarcastic.
No, I'm not. And I think I'm being very, very patient. Very patient, believe me.
Where's the chicken? Did you take the chicken away?
Sorry, yes. Did you want some more?
No, is it in the kitchen?
Yeah, I'll fetch you some
no,
more.
No, I'll get it.
Anthony takes his plate and leaves, patting Anne's shoulder as he passes her. She bites her lip and looks at Paul reproachfully.
Why do you say things like that in front of him?
What did I say? Listen, I completely understand your feelings.
No, you don't understand.
Yes, I do. But what I don't understand is... You do so much for him. And I respect you for that. I mean, you took the decision to bring him here and, you know, why not? But... How can I put this? I honestly think you have to come up with a different solution. He's totally lost it.
Stop talking like that.
Well, how do you want me to talk? I'm telling the truth. We have to come up with a different arrangement.
Such as?
Put him in an institution.
A home?
Yes, a nursing home. It'll be better for him.
Why are you saying this to me now, when tomorrow morning we've got this girl start?
Yes, you're right. We'll see. Maybe it'll work out very well with this girl. I mean, you seem to think she's good. But believe me, the doctor's right, Anne. The moment will come when, however good she is, he's ill, Anne. He's ill.
They both look up and see Anthony in the doorway.
Dad, what are you doing standing out there? Come in, sit down. Come on, Dad. Dad, come in, sit down.
She gives him a cheery smile, but he backs away and goes, leaving her distraught and Paul looking guilty and exasperated. Anthony shuts himself in his room. An angular tap drips. Anne sits at Anthony's bedside, gently stroking his cheek. Seen through the open door, she leans closer and strokes his other cheek. His eyes are shut and he lies with one hand pressed to his chest. Anne softly touches his wrist and reaches for the light switch. She goes to the door, and her shadow falls across his bed. She studies the card that the doctor gave her at the clinic Dr. A. Sarai. Seated at the desk in her office, with sunshine pouring in from the window behind her, Anne dials the number on her mobile phone.
Please hold the line while we try to connect you. The number you are calling knows you are waiting.
She picks up a pink lead crystal diamond-shaped paperweight as she waits for the call to be answered. And the light reflected in its facets ripples across her face.
Please hold the line while we try to connect you. The number you are calling knows you are waiting. Dr. Sarai speaking.
Anne stares at her father's door at the end of the hall.
Hello?
In the hall, a carpet's been rolled up. Two colourful modern chairs are stacked next to a couple of paintings leaning against a side table, and there are cardboard boxes in the study. Anthony, in his pyjamas, pulls back his curtains, letting the sun stream in. He watches a schoolboy tossing and kicking a pink plastic bag, as if it were a ball, along the sun-bleached pavement below. A faint smile comes to Anthony's face as the boy chases after the flyaway bag. Anne, in pink shirt over black trousers, is in the kitchen whipping up some eggs.
Dad? Are you up already?
Anthony comes down the hall in his pyjamas.
Did you sleep well?
He spots the two colourful chairs stacked together next to the hall table.
And where are these from?
Shall I get you some tea before she arrives?
He looks through the door into the living room.
Where's the painting?
What painting?
Lucy's.
Oh, you're mixing this up with your flat. There's never been a painting there. Come and have some breakfast.
He walks across the room and touches the wall above the mantelpiece.
Anne. Look. See.
He turns to gaze at the room.
Anne?
Laura appears with a cheerful smile.
Here's your tea.
Huh?
Don't let it get cold.
Where's Anne?
She went out.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
Oh.
She'll be back. At the end of the day, I'll look for your medication.
No, wait.
I'll be back. I'm just going to look for your medication.
Anthony looks around him in confusion, then glances down at his empty wrist.
Shit. Oh. What is the time?
It's time for your medication. It's best to take them now than it's done, don't you think? This little blue one, that's the one you like. Your little blue pill. Look, it's a pretty colour, isn't it?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you a nun?
No.
Then why are you speaking to me as if I'm retarded?
Me?
Yes.
But I'm not.
Your little blue pill.
Your little blue pill.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean...
It's really unpleasant. You'll see when you get to my age, it will happen sooner than you think.
I apologise. It won't happen again.
No. Tell me, have you noticed something?
What about?
Well, you know, my flat.
What about it?
Well, it's changed.
Do you think?
Yes. And those chairs, for instance, who put them there?
I don't know. Your daughter, I imagine.
Obviously, my daughter, obviously. All the same, it is extraordinary not even to ask my opinion.
Laura smiles sympathetically.
Oh, I wanted to apologise if I was a little, last time we met.
No problem. Your daughter warned me. She told me you had your ways.
Yeah. It is amazing how much you look like Lucy.
Anne told me what happened to her. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
What?
About her accident.
What accident?
What?
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Huh?
Are you taking your medication? And then we'll go get dressed.
You see?
What?
You're speaking to me as if I were retarded.
No, I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I...
And we get dressed in your little blue pill. Thing is, I'm very intelligent. You need to bear that in mind. Do you understand?
Yes, I'll bear that in mind.
Good. Thank you.
He slumps into a chair.
Yes, it's true. I'm very intelligent. Sometimes I even surprise myself. Oh. I have a memory like an elephant. You know that animal?
Yes, yes.
He sips from his water glass.
You've forgotten your pills.
Oh, what are they doing there?
Shall I get you another glass of water?
No, don't bother. I'll swallow them with them. You'll see that cup of tea.
You sure?
Yeah, positive. Look here. You'll see. Are you watching?
Yes.
Watch carefully. Okay? Put them in my gob.
He knocks back the pills in one gulp.
Watch carefully.
Yes, I'm watching.
Good. Nice cup of tea. Hey, presto!
He knocks that back in one and grimaces as it all goes down his throat.
Ah. Job is done.
Bravo.
Yeah. You know, I worked in the circus a bit when I was young.
Did you?
Yes. Would you like me to show you some magic?
Well, why don't we go and get dressed first?
Well, now?
Yes.
No, not now.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Why? It's not the point. I'll only have to put my pajamas back on again. Might as well save some time.
I see what you mean. But if you stay in your pajamas, we can't go out.
Well, where do you want to go?
Park?
Oh, God.
It's a nice day.
Everything all right?
Laura glances at the man.
Fine, we're just going to get dressed.
But
everything all right, Anthony? Something the matter?
No.
I just wanted to have a word with you, in fact.
With me?
Yes.
In that case, I'll go pack up our things.
No, don't go.
I'll be back.
Don't leave me on my own, please.
I'll be in the next room. I'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question?
Anthony rises to his feet and faces the man.
Yeah.
But I want an honest answer, nothing fancy. Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Well then, how much longer do you intend to hang around getting on everybody's tits?
Me?
Yes, you. I'd like to know your opinion. I mean, do you intend to go on ruining your daughter's life, or is it too much to hope you might behave reasonably in the foreseeable future?
What are you talking about, Ed?
About you, Anthony.
Huh?
About you. Your attitude.
Stop that.
The man slaps him.
I won't allow this.
You won't allow it?
No.
Suppose I do it again. Then what will you do? Yeah?
You'll have to take me on physically.
You saying that to tempt me?
No.
See, me as well. There's something I won't allow.
No.
Getting on everybody's tits. Past a certain age.
No, stop that. Stop that.
Yeah, I won't put up with that. I find that totally inappropriate.
Stop it!
Anne in her blue shirt runs out of the kitchen and finds her father cowering next to Paul.
Dad, what's happened?
Paul shrugs helplessly and she sits down with her father.
Okay. Is it about your watch?
No.
Is that the reason I found it? Look. Don't cry. Don't cry. Come on, you'll be all right now. You'll be okay. You'll be all right. Let's eat our chicken, shall we? You like chicken, don't you?
What time is it?
It's 8 o'clock, time to eat.
8 o'clock in the evening, Dad. I thought it was morning. I've only just got a look. I'm still in my pajamas.
No, it's the evening. And I've cooked you a chicken. Oh, Dad. It's okay. Come on. Come on. Come on. Little Daddy, it's okay.
She strokes his back. She looks up at Paul, who stands watching, not moving a muscle. Later, in her bathroom in a dark brown nightgown, her face devoid of any makeup, she stares bleakly into the mirror. She puts her toothbrush cup on the shelf, wipes her mouth, dries her fingers on a towel, and goes into the bedroom, where Paul is lying on the bed. She slumps down. She turns to look at him, her eyes full of conflicted emotions. A view of the unlit bathroom, an open cupboard with empty shelves, next to a couple of cardboard boxes. A view from the hall into Anne and Paul's living room, which appears empty. In his bedroom, Anthony is asleep.
Dad?
His eyes snap open.
Dad, are you asleep?
Anne?
He pulls back the bed cover. He turns on the light.
Dad, it's me.
Lucy?
He emerges from his room in his dressing gown and slowly comes down the long, narrow corridor. He stops outside the double doors leading to the living room, then looks into the kitchen across the hall.
Dad?
He walks towards a set of white painted double doors at the far end of the hall. He finds himself in a hospital corridor. He peers in puzzlement at a shut door leading to a ward at the end of a corridor which has the same dimensions as the corridor in both his and Anne's flat.
Dad.
With a shuffling gait, he comes down the corridor, a baffled look in his eyes, his mouth moving silently.
Lucy.
He walks on and comes to a part open door, where a young blonde woman is lying on a hospital bed. He gazes at her uncomprehendingly. The young blonde with a severe head wound and her neck bandaged looks like Laura.
Dad.
Anthony gazes at her. In his bathroom, he rinses his face and stares bleakly at his reflection. He dries his eyes with a towel and wipes his mouth, his eyes alert and thoughtful. Anne, in her white shirt, is moving about in her kitchen. Anthony comes out of his room at the far end of the hall as she whisks some eggs.
Dad? Are you up already? Shall I get you some tea before she arrives?
He walks towards the set of white-painted doors at the other end of the hall. A light comes on as he opens the doors of a broom cupboard. He peers inside, then closes the doors.
Dad?
Good morning.
Come on, sit down. It's ready. Are you hungry?
Yeah.
You've got a visitor today. Do you remember?
Oh.
Do you remember, Dad?
How could I forget? You never stop talking about it.
Well, she shouldn't be long.
Ah, this early?
Yeah.
Ah, I dreamt about her last night.
Laura?
Yes, well, I think I did. I could see her face. You know, she really reminded me of your sister.
Yeah. Yes, you said that yesterday. Well, if you're happy, I'm happy. She seems really nice. I mean, sweet and efficient. I think she'll look after you well.
I like her.
Good. We should get you dressed before she arrives, don't you think?
Who?
Laura, your new carer, the one you like.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll get a jacket on you before she arrives.
And trousers. Yes.
She said she really enjoyed meeting you yesterday. Yeah. And I must say, you did quite a little number on her.
I did?
Yes. You convinced her that you knew how to dance and you were really good at tap dancing.
Well, me?
Yeah.
Well, what did she say?
She said she hoped you'd give her a demonstration one day.
It's funny. I didn't know I knew how to tap dance. Did you?
No.
Ah, hidden talents.
Apparently, yes. Oh!
Is that her?
Yeah, I expect so.
But I'm not ready. I'm not even dressed. No.
Never mind. You can get dressed later.
No, wait. I'm not even... I must get dressed.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter!
She's outside the door.
Please, don't leave me alone. I'd be more... What will she think of me? I've got to be properly dressed.
Oh, Dad, why do you have to make everything so difficult? You can get dressed later. Don't worry about it.
I'll be mortified.
No, you won't.
I will. Oh,
Laura, hello.
Hello. I'm not too early, am I?
No, no, not at all. Come in, come in. We're just in the kitchen. Here we are. We were just about to get dressed.
The brown-haired woman comes in with a smile, and Anthony glances at the door to see if anyone else is coming.
Anne, who's this?
Hello, Anthony.
But Anne, it's not her.
Dad, would you like something to drink, some coffee, or...?
No, thanks.
Have you already had breakfast?
I'm fine.
I don't want her. Where's the one I like, the one?
Dad, what are you talking about? Say hello to Laura.
There's something that doesn't make sense about this. Doesn't make sense.
Remember me? We met yesterday. We were just starting to get to know one another, and I said I'd come back just to see how you do things here and see if I can help you. Do you remember?
Anne's hopeful smile freezes as Anthony hurries away. She watches him go to his room. Anthony, wearing a grey shirt unbuttoned at the neck, sits lost in his thoughts. Behind him, an electric kettle.
Dad, can I talk to you?
He turns his head to the door.
Mm-hmm. How shall I put this? Do you remember the first time you came to stay with me? And it was just, I mean, it was a stopgap because you'd fallen out with Angela and... I was wondering if it might be better... What do you think of this room? It's nice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You can see the park.
Can you? Oh. It's very nice.
At the window, Anne is wearing a loose maroon coat.
It's a bit like being in a hotel, don't you think?
All the residents say so.
I think you'd be better off here.
Where?
Here. I think it'd be more reassuring and nicer for you if we came to a joint decision about you living here. What do you think?
Well, what about you? What would you do? Where would you sleep? Which room?
If you remember, I'm going to go and live in Paris.
No, you're not.
I am. Remember, I told you all about it. Remember?
You said Are you sure?
Yes.
But you told me you were staying here with me.
No, I have to go. It is important. I explained it all to you, and I'll come back and see you occasional weekends.
What about me?
Well, you're going to stay here in London.
All on my own? What about your sister? Where is she?
Oh, Dad.
If you only knew how much I miss her.
I do too. I miss her too, Dad. We all miss her.
Anthony leans towards her and strokes her cheek in a fatherly way. And she gazes at him, her large dark eyes brimming, her lips trembling. She squeezes his hand, trying to swallow back her tears as he looks at her. She walks away from the imposing red brick nursing home, crossing a quiet courtyard, dominated by a giant bronze sculpture of a child's face. She comes along a columned arcade on her way to the front entrance. She glances back at the building with a tightly somber expression and climbs into the back of a waiting cab. The cab pulls away from the elegant frontage of the institution. In the back seat, Anne stares dolefully as her mind struggles with her conflicted thoughts. Taking a deep breath, she tilts back her head and nods to herself. Her face calms. A view down a corridor through a doorway into a lounge with two high-backed plastic chairs, one with a raised trolley in front of it, and a plasma TV on the wall ahead. Now a view of the pale green corridor at the doctor's clinic, moving towards a door at the far end. The same visual layout as Anthony's home and Anne's flat. Wearing a white vest and pajama bottoms, Anthony is sitting on his bed in his small room in the nursing home, staring into space. He glances towards the bedside table and slowly gets to his feet. He touches something below his knee, then stretches his arms above his head, lowers them, and pulls back the thin patterned curtains across the window. He looks at his empty wrist and then vaguely around the room.
Anne!
He goes to the half-glass door of the room. He peers out and in the corridor sees the brown-haired woman in a nurse's tunic talking to an elderly resident outside his room. Anthony shuts his door and comes back inside, looking utterly bewildered.
Sleep well?
What am I doing here?
Time.
I didn't ask about the time. I asked you what I was doing here. Where's Anne?
Look, I brought you your medication.
Why didn't you just fuck off with your medication? Are you a nurse?
Yeah.
Oh, you are? Oh, I see. That's it. You are a nurse?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. You're the type. Typical nurse. So what are you doing here?
Sorry?
What are you doing here?
I'm looking after you.
Oh. You don't say, really. Looking after me. Well, first I've heard of it. Yeah, since when?
Quite a few weeks now.
Oh, a few weeks now? Well, happy to hear it. Amazing. Nobody ever tells me anything in this house. But I thought we were getting a new one.
New what?
Nurse. New nurse. The one who looks a bit like Lucy, my other daughter. I met her the other day. She came here, didn't she?
You take your medication?
She was supposed to start this morning. Laura, wasn't she?
I think you're mixing things up, Anthony.
The one who reminds me of Lucy.
Right.
Right. Time to take our medication. Yeah. Not time by the minute, is it?
He knocks back the pills. He washes them down with water.
Where is Anne?
He wipes his nose.
Your daughter isn't here, Anthony.
Oh. Where is she? Has she gone out?
Well, if you remember, she lives in Paris.
No. She thought about going, but in the end it didn't happen.
She's been there several months now.
My daughter in Paris? No, listen, they don't even speak English.
Look.
Huh?
Yesterday, this postcard she sent you, we read it together. Do you remember? Look.
Huh?
Hmm? Now, I tell you this every day. She lives in Paris because she met a man called Paul, and that's who she's living with now. She comes to see you sometimes.
Anne?
Yes. Occasionally, she comes for the weekend. She comes here, and you go for a walk in the park, and she tells you about her new life, what she's up to. The other day, she brought you some coffee, because you like coffee.
I detest coffee. I only drink tea.
Everything all right?
Fine, we were just getting dressed.
The man comes in.
Everything all right?
Yes.
The nurse signs a form and hands it to the man.
Here you go.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
See you later.
M. Thurman. Who is he?
Who?
M. Who just left.
That's Bill.
Bill?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes, why?
Oh, no reason. I just how should I put this? What's he doing here? Here in my flat? Do I know him?
He's Bill. You see him every day.
Do I? Oh, and you?
What?
Sorry to ask this, but I mean, you, who are you exactly?
I'm Catherine.
Catherine, that's right. Yes, Catherine. And he's Bill.
Yes.
What about me? Who exactly am I?
You. You're Anthony.
Anthony.
Yes.
Anthony is a nice name. Anthony, don't you think?
It's a very nice name.
My mother gave it to me, I imagine. Do you know her?
Who?
My mother. She?
No.
Oh. She has it. She has such big eyes. I can see her face now. I hope she'll come and see me sometime. Do you think, Mummy? You were saying she might come occasionally at the weekend.
Your daughter?
No. Mummy. I want my mummy. I want my mummy. I want to get out of here. Have someone come and fetch me.
No, shh.
No, I want my mummy. I want her to come and fetch me. I want to go home.
What is it, Anthony? What is it?
I feel as if I'm losing all my leaves.
Your leaves?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
the branches and the wind and the rain. I don't know what's happening anymore. Do you know what's happening? All this business about the flat. I've no way to put my head down anymore. But I know my watch is on my wrist, that I do know, for the journey. If not, I...
Catherine holds out her hand and he clutches it with his hand holding a tissue.
I don't know if I... be ready to... to ready...
He lets her guide him to his bed. He leans against her, his head drooping.
First, we'll get dressed, shall we?
Yes.
We'll get dressed, and then we'll go for a walk in the park, shall we?
Yes.
Good. The trees and all the leaves, and then we'll come back here and we'll have something to eat. And then you can have your siesta, all right?
Yes.
And then if you're feeling on good form, we can go for another little walk in the park. Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Because it's such a lovely day.
Yeah.
It's sunny outside. And we have to go while it's sunny. We have to take that chance. Because it never lasts long when the weather's this good, does it?
No.
So, let's get dressed. Is that all right?
No.
Come on now.
No.
Come on, baby. It's all right. Come on. Shh. Easy now. Easy. You're going to feel all right in a minute, I promise you. Everything will be all right.
With her arm wrapped around him, she cradles him, and his anxiety slowly stills. A view of the room reveals some photos on a board, and on the bedside table, the framed photo of Anthony with his two daughters. On a trolley by the window, his transistor radio. Bright light shines in through the window, and beyond it, tall, majestic trees in full leaf fill the view, save for a patch of clear sky behind them, as they bend and sway in the wind. The picture cuts to black, followed by the credits. Makeup and hair designer Nadia Stacey. Sound design Anne-Marie Scott-Robbins. Editor Yorgos Lamprinos. Production designer Peter Francis. Director of photography Ben Smithard, BSc. Executive producers Heloise Spadoni, Alessandro Marchetti, Lauren Dark, Ollie Madden, Daniel Batzek. Executive producers Hugo Grumbar, Tim Haslam. Executive producers Paul Grindy, Ziggy Kamasa. Co-producer Alice Dawson. Producer Christoph Spadoni. Producer Simon Friend. Produced by David Parfit. Jean-Louis Levy. Philippe Carcassonne. Cast in order of appearance. Anne, Olivia Colman. Anthony, Anthony Hopkins. The man, Mark Gatiss. The woman, Olivia Williams. Laura, Imogen Poots. Paul, Rufus Sewell. Dr. Sarai, Ayesha Darka. Boy, Roman Zeller. Audio description, Veronica Hicks. Music by Ludovico Einaudi. Piano, Ludovico Einaudi. Violin, viola, Federico Meccosi. Cello, Redi Hassa. Cold Wind, Variation 2, Day 4. Low Mist, Variation 1, Day 5. Cold Wind Variation 1, Day 1. Low Mist Variation 2, Day 1. King Arthur or the British Worthy, 1691, Act 3. What Power Art Thou? Henry Purcell. Par Andrea's School, Academia Byzantina, Stefano Montanari. Norma, Act 1, Custadiva, Vincenzo Bellini. Maria Callas. Les Pêcheurs de Perles, Romance. Je crois entendre encore. Georges Bizet. Par Cyril Dubois, Les Cris de Paris, Orchestre National de Lille, Alexandre Bloch. Hospital Nightmare, written by David Menke, performed by David Menke. Additional music by David Menke, violin Reinmar Reuner, piano, double bass, programming, David Menke. TV sound, Legends of Rubal Kali, composed by Barnaby Allen Taylor. On the Hour, composed by Max Concour. A UK-France co-production, filmed at West London Film Studios and on location in London. Trademark Films, F comme Film, Ciné Arrobas, Embankment, Viewfinder Film, Canal Plus, Ciné Plus, Orange. Lionsgate. Les Films du Cru, Film 4. Copyright, New Zealand Trust Corporation. As trustee for Elleroth, Channel 4 Television Corporation, Trademark Father Limited, F comme Film Ciné Arrobas, Orange Studio, 2020. For Sarah, Tom, and Geordie. In loving memory of Simon.